This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina Department of Transportation closed the Bonner Bridge last week, leaving Hatteras residents with few options for transportation to and from the mainland. A blame game has ensued since the closure. Governor McCrory and North Carolina DOT Secretary Tony Tata say lawsuits by environmental groups are at fault. But environmentalists claim the closure was caused by the government's failure to act earlier on this issue. Derb Carter is director of the Carolinas Office of the Southern Environmental Law Center, and he is with us. Welcome, Derb. Good to have you here.
Pleased to be here, Frank.
Also with us, Tony Tata, Secretary of North Carolina Department of Transportation. Tony Tata, welcome back.
Great to be here, Frank. Thank you.
Let me start with you and the lawsuits. Derb, Governor McCrory sent a letter to your organization. He said, quote, "Your lawsuits are standing in the way of progress for the people, the environment, and the economy of Hatteras Island and Eastern Carolina. That your organization is responsible for the delays, and you should consider yourself accountable to the people of Hatteras Island and the taxpayers of North Carolina," unquote. Derb, how do you respond?
Well, ironically, we supported a plan developed in 2003 that had the support of all the state and federal agencies that would be involved in approving, financing, permitting the project, including the Department of Transportation, to build a longer bridge that would get people across Oregon Inlet and replace the Bonner Bridge, but equally importantly, get them down Highway 12, which was subject and is subject and continues to be to experience overwash, inlet formation. That was identified as the best solution. We supported that solution. And if the project had gone forward at that point, that bridge would have been built and completed under the schedule that DOT had prepared at that time years ago.
Why didn't it?
There was local opposition from some of the political leaders in Dare County who, for various reasons, preferred the short bridge, which the short bridge is basically replacing the existing Bonner Bridge at its current location. So there was opposition locally to the longer bridge that resulted in the plan being reconsidered, an attempt to examine various options that extended over a long period of time, leading to a conclusion just over about 2 years ago to build the replacement bridge at the current location and then figure out what we're going to do with Highway 12 and the storms and overwash that exist that would allow people actually to get to the bridge when those events occur.
Tony Tata, what do you say? That, you know, Derb is essentially saying your and Governor McCrory's blame on environmentalists for this is disingenuous. There could have been a solution 10 years ago.
Well, I go back to Judge Flanagan's order that says the parallel bridge does least environmental harm. The long bridge violates the Clean Water Act. There's not enough money to build it. And the Southern Environmental Law Center is on record as being against the Mid-Currituck Bridge, which spans Currituck Sound, and except for it's three times shorter. And so I'm not sure why they would support this one versus Mid-Currituck opposing that one. So really, I would like to go back and thank the people of the Outer Banks for their pioneer spirit and for their patience for really what is a challenging environment right now, and also my engineers and my ferry crews that are out there working around the clock to try to get things back to normal for the good citizens of Hatteras Island. And when you really look at what's transpired here, the relevant history begins in September when the judge issued her order. And she point by point denied the Southern Environmental Law Center's claims. And she said in her 42-page, very thorough order that the Department of Transportation was being good stewards of the environment and of the economy and looking out for the people of Hatteras Island and the millions of tourists that come there. And so there was a merger team that she references in her order that consisted of the Federal Highway Administration, Corps of Engineers, Environmental Protection Agency, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Marine Fisheries, Park Service, North Carolina Department of Environment, Natural Resources, and Cultural Resources. And all of them agreed on the parallel bridge, on the current bridge. And this is the only plan that has ever gotten to bid and has a contractor ready to build it. And it has a design on it. And so whatever happened 10, 15 years ago, it never got as far as this plan. And Judge Flanagan references the merger team, this great coalition of those that are very concerned about the environment and about infrastructure, came together and found a way to move forward on the Bonner Bridge replacement, parallel bridge.
What about that? The judges ruled on your objections and said that the fact the longer bridge does environmental damage and that there's a coalition ready to go. Get out of the way.
Well, we obviously don't agree with Judge Flanagan's decision. That's why we've filed the appeal. This is primarily a federal project. The majority of the money that's going to be spent is federal money. The land that's going to be most affected is a federal wildlife refuge. Because of that, there's a need to fully comply with what's called the National Environmental Policy Act that requires a full and fair disclosure of the impacts of a project. But it also doesn't allow state agencies like DOT to segment a project to avoid consideration of the full environmental effects of what's being proposed. Clearly here, after 20 years of considering this a project to get people from the north side of Oregon Inlet across the inlet through several miles of the refuge to Rodanthe, that was the project. That's how it was defined in 1993 when the project was conceptualized. At the last minute, the 11th hour, they decided we can't figure out how to get people to the bridge from the south. So we're just going to abandon that part of the project and build a bridge and try to figure that out later. To us, and we think the law will support this, that's a fundamental violation of the National Environmental Policy Act that requires consideration of the full impact of the proposal being considered, and in particular, the impacts on a federal property like the Pea Island National Wildlife Refuge.
Are you saying the state court didn't take that into account? It wasn't part of the case?
Well, it was the federal court in this case that made that ruling. Right. And she would agree to allow that type of segmentation to occur. We don't think that that's appropriate. We think she got the law wrong on that. And we've appealed it to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. The analysis doesn't support it. This is really not that much different from another case for a road project, a DOT project near Charlotte, North Carolina, where the district court ruled in DOT's favor on that project. We appealed that to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals just last year overruled the district court and in a unanimous panel decision and held that DOT had intentionally misrepresented information in that document and invalidated it and ordered DOT to go prepare an adequate document.
Tony Tata, we understand that there are immediate needs for the people of Hatteras, that the economy depends on people being able to get off and on that island clearly. Should we put aside environmental concerns in order to meet those needs?
In fact, we're not. And I want to address one thing, then I'll come back to that, Frank. The judge went more than to passively say this would be okay. She said it is not improperly segmented, not improperly segmented. She was very emphatic in that and identified the unique geography of the Outer Banks and that dynamic geography. So this is the least environmentally damaging and practicable alternative. And so we are being good stewards of the environment, according to Judge Flanagan, who in her 42-page opinion looked at every option and did a very thorough job. And to assert that a $1.2 billion bridge that cuts a new swath through Pamlico Sound is more environmentally sensitive than using existing right-of-way for Bonner Bridge and then subsequent projects down along Pea Island and into Rodanthe defies logic, and it defies the NEPA studies. And we are compliant with NEPA according to a federal judge who ordered that we are compliant. So these arguments are specious. And what we need to do, the people of Hatteras right now, yesterday morning there was fog for 2 hours. We couldn't run a ferry or a helicopter. If there was a medical emergency for someone, there was no way to get there.
Well, I think the need for a bridge is clear, but I want to ask Derb Carter to comment on that. Why do you think that the longer bridge is indeed more environmentally sound? Clearly, the judge in this case doesn't agree. DOT doesn't agree. Why do you think the longer bridge is better?
The longer bridge is a better solution because it will bypass the areas south of where the existing bridge would make landfall and actually allow people continually to be able to cross Oregon Inlet. We all know we've had back-to-back hurricanes down there that have opened two new inlets. For several months, you could not even get to the existing Bonner Bridge because a new inlet formed as a result of the hurricane. Hurricanes are going to occur again. The scientists who were involved in putting this document together identified five inlets that are likely to form just in that stretch of land south of the bridge. So like in 2003, the agencies all agreed that this was the longer bridge was the most safe and dependable alternative to meeting the project goal of getting people on and off Hatteras Island.
I'm going to take a break here and come back. Derb Carter, director of the Carolinas Office of the Southern Environmental Law Center. Tony Tata is the North Carolina Department of Transportation Secretary, and our conversation on the Bonner Bridge continues on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. We're talking about the Bonner Bridge closing. Derb Carter is with us, director of the Carolinas Office of the Southern Environmental Law Center. Tony Tate is here as well, North Carolina DOT Secretary. And of course, cost is a serious part of this whole question. Derb, your organization has put out some figures that show when you take in the total cost, including trying to keep 12 clear and all the rest of it, the difference between the long bridge and the short bridge option is less than $100 million, according to your estimates. Tell us about your figures.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand what is actually playing out down there. We're talking about the specific proposal to replace the Bonner Bridge itself, which is about a $216 million project. There are two other projects that are being developed to deal with the two inlets that formed during the last hurricanes. Those projects will involve almost another $200 million. There's another project underway that could cost up to $30 million to pump sand up on the beach in order to build a road on the sand. So what is being proposed down there ultimately is to build a series of bridges incrementally that, instead of being on the sound side of the barrier island in the calmer water, will actually eventually be in the ocean. So this is really a discussion about two bridges that will ultimately may be long bridges, one in the ocean, one in the sound. Our view is that the costs would not be that different to go on and solve the problem now and build a longer bridge. The current total for the projects that are in the works now is about $450 million. We have an estimate from DOT's own shop that a longer bridge could be built for $569 million. So that price difference is not that much. We think this is a very high state priority. We worked in the legislature this past session to actually get funding for this project. That was not supported by the Department of Transportation, unfortunately. If we could get some funding and make this project happen, then we could move forward with a long bridge that would be the environmentally preferred alternative and provide safe and dependable transportation on and off Hatteras Island.
Tony Tata, in the long run, anything you need to support that shorter bridge is going to end up costing almost as much.
That's just not accurate. That may be a 2003 number, but I've not seen any number in my department or any of the multiple studies that have been done on the long bridge. Those studies range between $800 million as an outlier low end to, on average, about $1.2 billion for the long bridge. And so and even in her order, Judge Flanagan references the long bridge as the single most expensive infrastructure project in the nation and the longest bridge in the nation. So it's not practicable to do this, and the violation of the Clean Water Act, the fact that the Southern Environmental Law Center doesn't support the McCurtuck Bridge, which would be through a similar estuary, it defies logic that they would support this. And so, to me, I don't know what the ultimate end game is, but for us, it's to provide safe transportation for the people of Hatteras Island and for the citizens and tourists that like to come to Hatteras Island, and ultimately so that everyone can get to medical care, to jobs, to recreation, to education.
Certainly the purpose of the bridge.
And well, what we're talking about is a 2.5-hour ferry ride one way right now. And we're having to dredge Pamlico Sound to open up those ferry routes because these emergency ferry routes shoal over as well. And so the environmental impact is significant, and the time impact is huge as well. And there's massive second-order impacts on time. Truck drivers can be in their trucks and trying to get fuel and trying to get provisions into Hatteras Island. It's a challenge. And then when it fogs over, as I mentioned, you can't even get there.
No, clearly something has to be done. The question is what? Derb, let me ask you where you got your figures. Tony Tata says they're not accurate. They're wrong.
Well, actually, that may provide an opportunity to have a discussion about this. If Secretary Tata was not aware that his staff estimated that this bridge could be constructed for $569,000, because
the long
that was
bridge. This
an
bridge
estimate from
long
last
bridge.
Year. That estimate was done by the Department of Transportation in 2012.
I just stepped on what you said, but I want to make it clear. The estimate for the long bridge, so give me the estimate again and when you got it and from whom.
The estimate on the low end from staff at the Department of Transportation from 2012 is $569 million to build the long bridge.
Well, let's talk about this idea of sitting down and having a conversation. Tony, you criticize the Southern Environmental Law Center saying, quote, these ivory tower elitists filed these lawsuits from their air-conditioned offices in Chapel Hill. They do so with their lattes and their contempt, and they chuckle. There's an editorial in the News and Observer that suggests that you and the governor are pandering to the short-term needs of the people of that island, that this is sheer politics. When you read a sentence like that, how would you defend yourself?
I was responding directly to insensitive and inaccurate comments from Mr. Carter and his spokeswoman, who spoke of multiple bridge closures, sort of a chest-thumping, when we close the bridge, see, we told you so. And it was just not the time to kick the people of Hatteras Island, in my view. And so when I got asked the question about how I felt about those comments, that was my response. And to be aloof and out of touch and to kick people when they're down is just not the right way to go here. These people are struggling to maintain their jobs and their economy and to get to the medical care they need and get to the education that they need. And so that was the essence of my comments. To be out of touch and aloof is no way to go in this very critical situation.
That suggests that you doubt the sincerity of their motives, then, if you think that they're not in
well,
touch.
Well, all you had to do was listen. The misinformation that was put out there is that there were multiple closures. This bridge has been closed exactly once to scouring in the last 50 years, and that was last week. So, and then there was a barge that hit it, 20 years ago, or whatever date that was. So, that's the essence of my response, is that here we had just taken severe safety precautions, and to sort of ridicule the people that are most impacted, and to use this as an opportunity, in my view, was not proper.
Third, Carter?
Well, I would like to respond to that. The bridge has been closed multiple times. Anytime there's a washout on Highway 12 that you can't get to through that section of the refuge to Rodanthe, they close the bridge. There's no reason for people to go across the bridge because you can't get through that area. It was closed for months during the hurricane. It was closed recently for, you know, this incident regarding scouring. We know what it's involved in closing the bridge. We've been involved in this for a very long time. I was on the island the day the dredge hit the bridge years ago. I had planned to come off that day. I spent almost 2 weeks on the island instead of coming off. So I know what it's like to be stranded on that island, and I know the hardship that's involved. We've been for replacing that bridge from the very beginning. Our objective is to get it done in a safe and dependable and environmentally sound way. We do believe that if there had not been interference, political interference, in 2003, when Governor Easley took the approach of getting all the federal and state agencies together, get them to come up with a plan, get them all behind the plan, that we would have a bridge in place now, and this recent closure would not have occurred. So we really somewhat resent the attacks that we have somehow been obstructing, trying to get the needs of these people on Hatteras addressed, because that's simply not the case.
Well, and to that point, Tony, I think that's the only place where it is relevant to talk about the past, things that happened not on your watch 10 years ago. There was widespread agreement, including environmental groups and political leaders in both parties, bipartisan support, federal and state, environmentalists and local residents. There was this support. The Environmental Law Center was on board with it as well. So to say now, I think that's where some of the resentment is. To put all the blame on them is not to remember when the Dare County Commissioners blocked what was a consensus decision to go ahead.
Well, I don't know that version of history is accurate. And even if it was, you had everything but the money, and so you couldn't build it, and so to go back 10 years and say, woulda, coulda, shoulda, I think does not serve any purpose today. And today we have the merger team, which is a bipartisan, multi-agency effort that all agrees on the parallel bridge. And we've got a federal judge's order that says we have complied with all necessary laws and regulations, and we're ready to move forward. We've got a contractor, and this is the only time in history for the replacement bridge that we've had a bid out and a contractor accept that bid, and they've designed a bridge. And that design of the bridge is a 100-year bridge, is what they call it. It's got new technology and new techniques to make the bridge more durable and last longer. And all these other options are far more expensive, either immediately or over time, and so they're not practicable.
There is an appeal pending that will delay things. Is there any way to go forward, do you think, between the two of you, your organizations, to speed things up? Some kind of negotiation, some third way that either of you see at this moment that could speed things up? Derb, let me start with you.
Well, we're always open to discussing how we can resolve cases and, you know, address the, you know, the concerns that, in this case, the organizations that we represent have about the existing proposal. Like I mentioned, we've worked in various ways to try to come up with funding proposals through the legislature and otherwise that could provide the additional funds to build the longer bridge, if that's the single impediment. We're more than willing to continue to explore those options and work with the Department of Transportation to go to the legislature. Secretary Tatum mentioned the Mid-Currituck Bridge. We do not think the Mid-Currituck Bridge is a priority. We think replacing the Bonner Bridge is a priority. And the funding that would go to that should be diverted now to the immediate need, which is replacing the Bonner Bridge and addressing the problems on Highway 12 with a longer bridge.
Tony Tatum.
Well, there is no funding set aside for Mid-Currituck Bridge. So under our new funding formula, it's data-driven and it's needs-based. So that's how we're moving forward. I would just say that we need the parallel bridge now, and we need to begin construction now so that we can get a reliable means of transportation to the people of Hatteras Island. And we've been in within my first month or two in this position. I met with members, several members of the Southern Environmental Law Center, listened intently. I met with my staff. We've been studying this issue for 11 months now, and my team has been in mediation on the state lawsuit where they, we have the Coastal Area Management Act permit, and they sued to block our use of that, and so we were in mediation. They're uncompromising. They don't mediate. They want what they want, and so what we are trying to do is find a path forward for the citizens of Hatteras and for a really strong part of the economy of North Carolina, and frankly the taxpayers of North Carolina are footing the bill for a few people that are trying to hold up this bridge, and it's when you think about the cost and repairs to the old bridge and lost construction costs as we come out of the recession and attorney's fees, all of that adds up to millions and millions and millions of dollars that the taxpayers of North Carolina are footing. So this is much more than the remote island of Hatteras and its citizens with a great pioneer spirit. This is about every taxpayer in North Carolina.
Thurb Carter, is it going on too long? Are the stakes too high now? Is it time to fold the tent? It's costing a lot of money. It's taking a lot of time.
We have done everything we can to move the challenges to this bridge and this case along as quickly as we can to a resolution. We think that's very important. We did challenge the state coastal management permit for this project. We filed that challenge about a year and a half ago. We were denied a hearing. We had to go to Wake County Superior Court to get the judge to rule that we were unlawfully denied a hearing to challenge that permit. That took almost a year over DOT's opposition to do that. So now we're beginning a hearing. If we had begun that case when we filed the challenge, it would likely be over by now. So we have done everything we can to move this along as expeditiously as possible. We just filed briefs in this case. If anyone's interested, they're posted on our webpage. You can read all about it. We've tried to be open and public about what we're doing and how we're doing it. That brief was filed yesterday. It was due 2 weeks ago. DOT wanted a two-week extension to file our brief. So we're doing everything we can to move this along to as rapid a conclusion as possible.
Well, Tony Tata, are we at a point now where the need is so great that we should set aside environmental concerns to just get this thing done?
I have to remind you, Frank, that we have the least damaging environmental option with the parallel bridge. So we're not setting aside anything. We are embracing the environment, and we are embracing the judge's order that says that we have chosen the least damaging environmental option of all the options out there. So it is time to move forward, yes, and it is time to move forward with a parallel bridge that will be the 100-year bridge, and it will be built with new technology and new techniques that will provide a safe, reliable access to Hatteras Island for years to come.
Have you seen those plans, Tony? I'm sorry, Derb. I mean, things have changed. Technology has advanced, I would think, even in the last 10 years. Are there solutions now, technological solutions that weren't available even 10 years ago, that would make this other project more viable?
Well, technology is not going to address this eroding island. It's not really a matter of technology in terms of how the bridge is built. It has a lot to do with where the bridge is built, how much it recognizes that it is as important to build a technologically sound bridge at this location. It is equally important to make sure you have a plan and a way to access that bridge from the south. That area is eroding. The ocean is moving. It's one of the most dynamic areas on the entire East Coast in terms of the barrier island. What's needed is a plan that can fully address and not defer to emergencies, to inlets being formed that totally cut off access to Hatteras Island, which is the current plan that DOT has in place. After 15 years of trying to figure out how to deal with this, they basically decided to kick the can down the road, build the short bridge at its current location, which is what the local politicians want, and really not address the real problem down there, which is actually accessing this. We can build a bridge that's technologically sound and anchor it at the current location on the end of this island that is disappearing. That's the problem. It's not a technologically sound bridge. It's recognizing the coastal processes that are underway down there, and that it's as important to have access to that bridge on Highway 12 as it is to build a technologically sound bridge.
We're just about out of time, but Tony Taylor, let me ask you about the current bridge and when, any idea when we might expect it to open?
The first thing I would say is it's a little irresponsible to blame local politicians when we've got a merger team of federal and state agencies that have agreed with the parallel bridge. We immediately, on the day we shut down the bridge for safety reasons, had a contractor in hand to come in with what's called Ajax, which are braces that will be around each of the 10 pilings on this one platform. And we also moved to dredge, got the permits in 24 hours to, from Corps engineers, the Coast Guard, and Diener to get sand into the hole. They've dumped 50,000 cubic yards of sand into this hole. And so we are working hard to get the repairs done and get this bridge open safely as soon as possible.
I want to thank both of you. Tony Tata, North Carolina Department of Transportation, Secretary Derb Carter, Director of the Carolinas Office of the Southern Environmental Law Center. Thank you both for being on the program. Coming up next, we'll check in with the Farm Bill and talk about medicine's Michelangelo, all on the State of Things. Coming up, stay tuned.